Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Zayin on Beis. Three lines from the wide lines. We learned in the Mishnah the halacha of Bishlakim. So halacha is that food with the conditions that we will be discussing in our shiurim is not allowed to be eaten. It's interesting, Machloikus Rishonim, that when we speak about Bishlakim, does Bishlakim, somebody had Bishlakim, somebody cooked, if Nachri cooked in a Jewish, in a keli that's owned by, in a kosher keli, does that make it kosher? Does it have to be kashered? The Rajba's opinion is that the kelim don't become usher, and they don't have to be kashered if they use for bishlakim. The Raw disagrees, and the Raw's opinion is that they do need to be kashered. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know the halacha of bishlakim? Says the Gemara, Amar Abchibar, Abba Amar Abyachar, Amar Krop. The Pasuk teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu sent a message to Sichai Melech Cheshbein. Oichel bekeshev tashbireini v'chalti, umayim bekeshev titin livashasisi. Moshe Rabbeinu told Sichon, we're going to go through your land and we will pay for any food that we eat. But the Pasuk singles out water. What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean to say by singling out water? Ma'amayim shlo nishtana. Nothing happened to the water from the intervention of the Nachri. Af oichel, the only type of food that we could get from a Nachri is food shlo nishtana, that the food was not changed in any way. But if obviously the food was cooked, that's not the type of food that we're allowed to eat, says the Gemara. We're not allowed to eat from a Nachri. El Meata asked the Gemara that the Isra of Bishlakim now was saying is based on food that was transformed through the Nachri. El Meata Chitavas and Kloyus. If somebody has grain and they were dried in an oven, hachinami desurin, so they've changed. So according to the way we're learning now, the halacha ought to be that such food is usur because of bishlakim, v'chitem hachinami, and if one will indeed consider that should be the halacha, v'tanya chitavas and kloyus, if you have grain that was made into dried grain, mutarim. Ella, so again, we have to go back to the pasuk that speaks about the halacha of bishlakim. We compare it to mayim. Ma'am mayim shlo nishtanu mevrayason. Water is the way it was. Water is something that is the way it was. From here we learn, af oichel, so too will be the halacha on food shlo nishtanu mevrayason, that it was never changed. El miato. So ask the Gemara, if that's the halacha, chitin v'tochnon, if you have grain that was, so the grain that was toasted is the way it was. But ask more if that's the way we're going to learn. El Me'ata, if that's the case, Chitin V'tochnon, if you have grain that was ground, Hochnam Desurin, because it's not the way it was originally. Chitin, and if you will indeed suggest, Hochinami, that ground grain is subject to the halachos of Bishlakim, V'tanya Chitvas and Kloyus, if somebody made grain into dry grain, or a kamach v'asalta shalhem, or somebody ground grain into flour, mutarim, so even though we see that it isn't the way it was originally, it's still considered bishlakim. Says the Gemara, the way to understand is, again, the pasuk compares it to mayim. Ma'amayim shlo nishtanu mevrayason l'idei or, for it has to be water that doesn't change because of the, you put on a fire, af oich shlo nishtanu mevrayason l'idei or, and therefore all these grain products that don't really change through fire, that's why they're not subject to bishlakim. So ask the Gemara midi arksiv, does the Torah speak about fire in that pasuk that we should say that is the determining factor? Rather, therefore, says the Gemara, the Isra Bishlakim is Isra Rabbanan. And why, as we've been learning, because we're concerned about chasnas, we want to avoid coming in contact with them. The kra and the pasuk that we began our shiur with today is only in a smachta ba'alma. So Rashi adds another element of bishlakim, and that is that, number one, as we've learned before, this bishlakim is based on being concerned about chasnas, about intermarriage. But Rashi also adds the concern that the nachri may serve you food which is not kosher. And Aruch HaShulchan explains, why did Rashi have to add that new consideration? He says that we learned on Daf Lamed Zayin that the Isra Pas Akum did not gain full acceptance and was permitted in certain places. Says Rashi, why is that not the case when we speak about Bishlakim? So says Rashi, because when we speak about Bishlakim, there's another consideration. That besides the consideration that the food of chasnas, as we've been learning in our shiurim, but there's also a concern of Shem Yechlenu David Tamei. And if that's the concern, that's why it can never be made lenient. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree to that, and because according to Rashi's concern, what would be if you were cooking in a Jew's home? In a Jew's home, there's no concern about the food not being kosher. Yet there's an Isser of Bishlakim. So we see that the Isser of Bishlakim is not limited. The Isser of Bishlakim is not limited to Jew's home. The Ramban says, what's going to be halacha in those days where they had slaves? What would be the halacha if somebody had a slave in their home? Would there be an isser of bishlakim when she cooks in the home? Says the Ramban that they're part of the home, and since they're part of the Jew's home, there is no isser of bishlakim. The Ra'ah, however, says that one should be machmer, and so too is the opinion of the Rashba. But the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, quoting the Issa of the Heter, says that if it already happened, one should not allow l'chatchila a nochris to cook in a Jew's home, even if she's a shifcha in the home. But the Darkei Moshe, quoting the Issa of the Heter, and the Ramah paskins like that, says the B'dievet, if she already cooked in that home, then it would be mutter. Of course, the question that would come up is, we don't have shifchas, we don't have slaves. But what would be the halacha if we have full-time help in the house and they're not Jewish and they cooked? What would be the status of the food? Amrav Shmuel by Yitzchak Amrav kol anach kama shuchai. Anything that could be eaten raw. Ein ba mishum bishul akum. There's no concern of bishul akum. And Rashi explains, because the cooking didn't accomplish anything. So when did Chazal say Bishal Akam is Osir? That's when the cooking accomplished something. But when the cooking didn't accomplish anything, then it's not subject to Bishal Akam. The Ran has a different explanation. He says the Issa Bishal Akam is because, as we just said, the primary concern by Bishal Akam is because of chasnas. Something that doesn't require cooking is not the kind of food that could bring that level of relationship between the Yisrael and the Nachri, and therefore there is no concern of Bishlachim. There is a Machloikus Rishonim. What happens if you have a food that could be eaten raw, but most people eat it cooked? Will it be subject to Bishlachim or not? The opinion of the Ritva has a lenient opinion that since it can be eaten raw, it's already not subject to Hilchos Bishul Akum. The Meiri's opinion is that since it's not the kind of food that's normally eaten raw, even though it technically could be eaten raw, it's not subject to the halachas of Bishul Akum. The Surah Mas Nahachi says the Gemara, that's what they learned in Surah, is the qualification of being necha, of for Bishlakim. However, for Pumbedisa, in Pumbedisa Masnach, the way they learned in Pumbedisa is Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, Kol She'ena Nechal Ashulchem Alachem Lavas Bayetz Pass, something that's not put on the table to be eaten with bread, Ein Boy, on the bread of kings, Ein Boy Mishum Bishal Ov Dikachavim, is not subject to Bishalachem. So this, of course, is another very important heter, and the heter is that the Isser of Bishalachem is only applicable on something that is significant. How do we understand of something that is significant? That if it's eaten by Shulchan Malachim. And how we define Shulchan Malachim is a very important issue. Do we find Shulchan Malachim is anything that the king eats? So even if the king eats simple food, the king eats breakfast like everyone else, and he eats certain simple foods, that would be subject to Shulchan, to the halacha of Shulchan Malachim. Rav Schwab Zutzal used to say the story that the Chazon Ish told him that the king of England, the queen of England, eats sardine for breakfast. So even though sardines are not considered a significant food, but since the king eats it, it's subject to Shulchan Malachim. It's subject to Bishalachim. Others say it's not dependent on what the king eats. What the determining factor is this something that is considered a choshev food, a significant food? Rabelsky Zitzal used to say, the way we would make the determination is it something that would be served at a smorgasbord, at a state dinner? That's the determining factor of Oyel Shulchan Malachim. But then there's a different discussion. The Gemara says, L'lafas is apas. So according to the Ritva, the Gemara means that if this is a food that's not eaten, L'lafas is apas, it could be whatever type of food, but if it's not eaten along with bread, it's not subject to Bishalakim. The Rajba disagrees. And the Rajba says, if you have a food that's Oyla Shulchan Malachim, if it's considered a significant food, and the fact that it's eaten, the fact that it's not eaten with bread is not the consideration, and therefore, according to him, any food that's eaten as a significant food is subject to the halacha of Bishalakim. That's the opinion of the Rajba. I saw a third opinion, and that's the Pre-Chadosh's opinion. The Pre-Chadosh says that it depends on if it's part of the meal or if it's not part of the meal. If something, for example, according to Pre-Chadosh, that's only eaten at dessert, then the fact that it's not eaten with the bread makes it not subject to Shulchan Malachim. But if it's eaten during the meal, the fact that it is or isn't eaten with the bread is immaterial, and it's going to be subject to the halacha of Bishalakim. The other question is that all these reasons that we just gave, Dava Shenech Kama Shuchai, or Dava Eila Shulchan Malachim, can be understood when we think about in terms of chasnus. Is this something that's going to create a certain level of closeness that we have to be concerned? But if, as we discussed at the beginning of our shiur, there's a new consideration, and that is the consideration of Rashi, that Shem Yechel David Tameh, that you may eat something that's not kosher, so what's the difference if this food could be eaten raw? What's the difference if this food could be eaten? Is Oyel Shulchan Malachim or not? If it's a food that could be eaten, if it's a food that we have to worry is not kosher, so it should be subject to Bishalakim. So the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin explains that the Rashi agrees that the primary concern is chasnas. The primary concern is to avoid the social interaction. Once Chazal were concerned about social interaction, they also added the dimension about something that's not kosher. But in a food where there is no concern of chasnas, then the issue of not kosher is not a consideration. So Agamar said that anything that could be eaten raw is not subject to halacha of Bishalakim. The question that comes up is that nowadays nobody drinks milk that's not pasteurized. So what would be the halacha about milk that was cooked by a nochri? Is that considered davar nechel chai? And in fact, the Michlis Yitzchak says that the fact that nobody drinks milk that's not pasteurized, it's considered unsafe, may make it be considered that something that's not nechel chai. And therefore he says, the lechatchila, milk that's pasteurized, which is really all milk, should be pasteurized. The pasteurizer should be put on by a Jew to avoid the problem bishlakim. Many paiskim disagree, and they say since milk is something that you could drink when it's unpasteurized, that's enough to make it be considered davar hanechel chai. So now that the Gemara, but at this point of the Gemara, the way to understand the Gemara is that in order to be subject to, we have two different opinions regarding hilchos bishlakim. Is it something that it's not subject if it's raw, or is it because it's shulchan malachim? So asking my Mai Benai, what would be the practical nafkamina between these two things? Says the Gemara, Ikke Benai Dogim Kardi, small fish, Vardi, a type of mushrooms, Vadaisa, a type of a hot cereal. All of these things are not eaten raw. On the other hand, the Gemara says, the not oila shulchan malachim, that would be the nafkamina. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav, Dogim Ktanim Meluchim, small fish that are eaten by salting. Their halacha is that even, this is the way Rashi learns, that even if a nachri were to cook them, Ein Ba Mishum Ba Shalakim, they're not subject to Bishalakim, because they're eaten just with salting, they don't need cooking. Amar Rav Yosef, continues the Gemara, Im Tzolan Oiv De Kachavim, if a nachri roasted them, so here we have a very interesting halacha. As far as Bishul Akam, we're learning, it's not considered a significant act of cooking, because they're edible when they're salty. But the halacha is that for a food to be able to be used for Erev Tashilin, it has to be cooked. So what happens if it was cooked by a nachri? So then, is it considered a cooked food? Or not, that we could use for Erev Tevshilin. So the Gemara is teaching us that on one hand, it's not going to be subject to the halachos of Bishul Akam because the cooking is not considered significant. On the other hand, it is going to be qualified as a cooked food to be used for Erev Tevshilin. However, if the nachri made out of these fish, a food that's called kasa dahasana, which they cook the food with flour, asur, because that food is inedible without flour. Says Mapshita, obviously, Madatayma, answers the Gemara, we would think is Harsana Iker, that even when we have the flour, which obviously has to be cooked, baked, to be edible, but the main ingredient here is the fish, and the fish, we said, is not subject to Hilchos Bishul Akam. Kamash Mulan, the Gemara is teaching us that Kimcha Iker, when you have this type of fish, it, the main ingredient is the karsana, the harsana, and since that is the flour, and the flour is an ingredient which is subject to hilchos bishul akum. Amar Abruna Amarav, Oiv kacham she'etus is'or, if a nachri put on the fire, ba'agam, in a place where there's all sorts of wood, then they used to put a fire there, says the Gemara, kol chagovim ba'agam, all the grasshoppers that got burnt by that fire, asurim. Because they're subject to the halacha of Bishul Akam. So ask the Gemara Hechi Dami, exactly what happened here? Ilei melo yoda haitov v'tamei, if the reason that now the Yisrael can't tell which is the kosher grasshopper and which is the non-kosher grasshopper, because they all got burned. So my area kav chavim. So that if that is the concern, it has nothing to do with a nachri, it should have nothing to do with a nachri being evolved or a nachri not being evolved. Because I feel Yisrael Nami, even if it was a Judah put on the fire, if we can't tell which is the kosher grasshopper, which is the non-kosher grasshopper, we obviously made it out of anything. Says the Mar, the concern is Mishum Bishlakim, because who caused these grasshoppers to get roasted? The nachri putting on the fire. Ask the Gemara, Ki Agavdim Yasser, would this be considered, as the Gemara, a situation of Bishlakim? V'amar Rav Chana bar Ami, amar Pedas, amar Rabbi Yochanan, hayav t'chacham d'charach reishe. If a Nachri singed the head of an animal in order to take off the hair, shoril l'mechumenei, a Jew may eat from that meat, afilu mereish unei. Even he could eat from the ear, which gets cooked very quickly, and that act of singeing made the ear edible, and it's not subject to bishul akum. Alma, why? Because the reason is lavuri sar kamechaven. All the nachri is interested in is removing the hair, and even though it got edible, that isn't what the nachri is trying to accomplish, and therefore it's not subject to bishul akum. So hachinami, when the nachri puts on the fire by the agam, legluya agam kamechaven, he's not looking to cook the grasshoppers. He just wants to clear off the wood from the swamp, and that's what he does by making a fire and burning up these twigs. So why would it be subject to bishul akum? Answers the Gemara, indeed. The issue here is la'olam, the layada, where the issue here is the layada, the Yisrael doesn't know when you have these burnt grasshoppers, haytar for haytar. Which is the kosher one, which is the non-kosher one. So why did the Gemara, so then it should be also, even if it was done by a Jew, says the Gemara, that Shemai Shashai Baiv Kachavim, that was talking about a case where it was the question that came to the Beis Medrash was when a Nachri did it, and that's why they discussed it in those terms. But it's not limited to a Nachri that did it. So I saw that the Yavitz asks that this is a simple din. If we have grasshoppers that we can't tell if they're kosher or not kosher, obviously we're not allowed to eat those grasshoppers. What is the Gemara coming to teach us? So says the Yavitz, the chiddush of the Gemara here is that we have a swamp that is muchzik to have kosher grasshoppers. But we don't know for certain that there are only kosher grasshoppers. Since we don't know for certain that there are only kosher grasshoppers, then when we can't tell that the grasshopper in front of us is kosher or not kosher, we have to take a strict approach and deal with all the grasshoppers as if they were not kosher. Why, when the Nachri does not intend to cook, as we learned, the Nachri just putting on a fire for whatever reason, is it not subject to bishul akum? So explain the Rishonim that I saw the Bedek Abayis from the Raw explains that, as we keep on saying in our shurim, the Isser of bishul akum is to avoid chasnas, is to avoid that social interaction. So only by cooked foods is there that concern. When we don't have a cooked food, we don't have reason to have that concern. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hayav Chacham D'Charech Reishi, if a Nachri is singeing the head of an animal, Shor L'mechum Ne'afilim Reish Unei, you could eat from the ear. Amar Ravina Hilkach, Hayav Chacham D'Shod Eskinta L'Asuna, of a Nachri that put some wood into a furnace in order to dry out the wood, the covered by Yisrael Krami Kara, and the Yisrael put a cucumber there previously, Shapadami. The Nachri did not intend to cook it. The Nachri only put that wood in to dry out the wood. As the Gemara, this is what we're learning. Pshita, since it was not the Nachri's intention to cook, so there's no Bishlakim. Answers the Gemara, Ma the Tamil of Vishulim Monika Machavin. He wanted to cook what he wanted to do to that piece of wood is considered an act of cooking. So that's considered an act of cooking, and therefore it should be subject to the halachas of bishul akum, kashem ashmalan, that this is not considered an intention to do an act of cooking. This is considered l'shirurei monika mechavin. All he wants to do is to make the wood more usable, and therefore it's not considered an act of cooking. So the Rishonim ask, why would it be a concern of bishul akum? The Yisrael is the one that put the food into the oven. So they say that if the Yisrael put the food before the Nachri put on the fire, and the Yisrael did not know that that's going to happen, that won't make it enough to be not considered bishalakim. Amar Yudam Shmuel, Hinech Yisrael Basa Gabacholim. If a Jew put meat on top of coals, and then the Nachri moved around the meat, mutter. Ask the Gemara Hechidami exactly what is the situation we are discussing. Ilema, Dilai Hafkba, have a bushel. If it's a situation where even if the Nachri had not moved it around, it would have gotten cooked. Pshita. So then it's not considered Bishlakim. Elalaf. Well, we have to explain, it's speaking about a case, Diloy Hafach, had the Nachri not stirred the pot, Lo Ava Boshel would have never gotten cooked. So then if that's the case, asked the Gemara, Amai Mutter, why would this not be concerned? Bishulav the Kachavimnu, without the Nachri's intervention, this food would have never gotten cooked. Answers the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, the case is, Diloy Hafach, had the Nachri not stirred the food, have a boshel, it would have taken 2 hours to cook. Because of the Nachri's intervention, it got cooked in 1 hour. The fact that he made the food get cooked quicker is considered halachically significant. That if the food would have gotten cooked anyway, it's not an issue. Ask the Gemara, any food which is in the category of machel ben drusoy, which throughout Shas means either a quarter cooked or a half cooked. Even if the Yisrael just did that, and then the Nachri completes the cooking, ain ber mishum b'shulakim, there's no issue considered akim. Ha enik b'achel ben drusoy, if the food wasn't up to that state, and the Nachri cooked it, yesh ber mishum b'shulakim. So we see if the Yisrael put the food on and just put on a raw piece of meat and nothing else happened to it, there's still no bishlakim. Answers the Gemara Hassam, in the case that Rabbi Yochanan just taught us, is the Isfinu Besilta. What happened was that the food was put on the fire by Yisrael. Then it was removed from the fire. It was put into some basket. And then Vishakli Avdecham Vaisoy B'Tanura. And then the Nachri put it on the fire. So then the Nachri is starting a whole new act. Since the Nachri, in this case, is beginning a whole new act, so the Halacha teaches us as follows. If the Yisrael accomplished that it was Machel Ben Drusoy, then what the Nachri does afterwards is unimportant. But if it wasn't Machel Ben Drusoy, and now the Nachri took a piece of meat, which is so uncooked that it's not even Machel Ben Drusoy, and he puts on the fire, it's subject to Hilchos Machel Ben Drusoy. I saw that we often see in Shas the concept of Machel Ben Drusoy. Machel Ben Drusoy, we always speak about a person who ate the food quickly and wasn't particular the food, as we said, it was a third cook or fourth cook. Why does the Ben Drusoy get the schus of being mentioned in Shas so often? So I saw a very nice pshat. What is the lesson that we learn from Ben Drusoy? The lesson that we learn from Ben Drusoy is that he was a person that wasn't particular about what he ate. He didn't see food, he didn't see eating as an integral part of his life. A person who has that proper attitude towards eating, that he doesn't consider eating so very important, is a person who deserves to have his name mentioned often in Shas. Says the Gemara Tanya Namihachi, Menech Yisrael Basa Gabacholim, if Yisrael puts a piece of meat on the fire, or Baiv Kachav Mapach Ba, and the Nachri comes and stirs that meat, Ach Yav Yisrael Mebeis HaKnesses, or Beis HaMedrash, until Yisrael comes home from Shul, Eina Chayshish, we don't have to be worried about Bishlakim. Similarly, Sufesis Isha Kdera Gabakira, a woman could put a pot on the flame, or Bas Avdus Kachavim or Magisa, and a Nachris could stir that food, Achitavim Beis HaMerchitz or Beis HaKnesses, until she comes home, Venechasheshes, as there's no concern for Bishlakim. Ibailu. So now, ask the Gemara. Hinich Avdus Kachavim, if a Nochri put the food on the fire, and the food, as we said, were it not stirred, would take 2 hours to cook. V'hachavach Yisrael, and the Yisrael stirred the food and made it ready to eat in 1 hour. Mahu, will that food be considered bishlakim or not? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kavachomer. We can learn the following Kavachomer. If when a Yisrael puts the meat on the fire, and the guy stirs it, the meat is kosher, even though it's not bishlakim, even though it was gomer biyad akim, even though the real act of making the food edible came through the akim, still we're learning it's mutter. So certainly gomer biyad Yisrael, where the nachri indeed put the meat on the fire, but it's the Yisrael that made it ready to be eaten, like koshkein, that you're allowed to eat that meat. Et benami, amar Rav Abba b'chana, amar Rav Yochanan, v'amalei amar Rav Achbar b'chana, amar Rav Yochanan, ben shenich ov dekechavim, if the nachri put the meat on the fire, v'hafach Yisrael, and the Yisrael stirs it, or ben shenich Yisrael, or if the Yisrael is the one that puts the meat on the fire, v'hafach ov dekechavim, and the nachri is the one that stirs it, mutter. V'ena osur, it's only considered bishul akim, achtei tchilosoi v'gomri b'yadav dekechavim, if the entire act was done through a nachrim. Amar Ravina Hilchasa, the halacha is rifta, bread that's baked in an oven. The shaga of kachavim, that the nachri put on the fire, v'af Yisrael, but the Yisrael is the one that put the bread into the oven. Inami, shaga Yisrael, or if the Yisrael is the one that put on the fire, v'af of kachavim, and it's the nachri that put in the bread, or even if the nachri is the one that put on the fire and the nachri that did put the bread in, and the Yisrael stirred the fire, in all these cases, shapadami. But this is a very important issue. Based on this Gemara, any minimal act that a Yisrael does in making the food edible is considered enough to make it that it shouldn't be a problem. But there's a big machloikus, Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Ran learns that this is only a halacha by pas. And as we've learned in our previous shurim, pas is much more lenient than bishul. And therefore, says the Ran, by pas, any Jew's minimal involvement, any minimal involvement by the Jew is adequate. But when it comes to bishul akim, says the Ran, just a Jew doing a minimal amount of work isn't going to be required. The Trumas Hadeshin disagrees. And Trumas Hadeshin says that since our Gemara, even though this case is about Pas, but the Gemara has been teaching it together with the Halachas of Bishul, says the Trumas Hadeshin, this Halacha will not only apply by Pas, it'll apply by Bishul as well. And this is the big machloikis, the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. The Beis Yosef paskins like the Ran, and Bishul, in order that it should not be Bishul Akim, a Yisrael has to put the food on the fire. And the Ramah says that any act of the Jew doing it is enough. And this opens up another question. What about Hashlochas Kisim? If a Jew doesn't even do anything with the food, all the Jew does is throw in some wood to fuel. Is that enough? Again, according to Ramah, it's enough. According to Beis Yosef, probably not. Continues the Gemara, we go back to Dag Maliach, a salted fish that isn't cooked. It's eaten just by salting it. Chizki says that this is not subject to Bishul Akim because it doesn't need Bishul. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that the salting is equivalent to cooking. And just like a fish that's, just like a food that's cooked is asur if it's cooked by a nachri, a fish that's salted, the salting is included in the halach, has the same status as cooking. So I saw a very interesting situation. One, while we're bira halacha, if a Nachri cooked a fish. So it depends on the fish. If it was cooked, if it was salted first, and the salting makes it edible, so that even though the Nachri now cooked it, the salting already made it edible, and it's no longer subject to Bishlakim. Whereas, if it was not cooked, it was not salted first, so what is making this fish edible? What's making this fish edible is the cooking, and that would be subject to Bishlakim. Beya Tzluya, if you have a roasted egg, by Kapara Shari, he says that it's mutter, and there's two explanations why. Rashi explains, because the Nachri does not come in direct contact with the food. He touches the shell. However, the other Rishonim say that it's considered Nechel Aidei Etchak, this is the Pshat of the Ritva. It could be eaten raw, even though eggs are typically not eaten raw. The fact that it can be eaten raw, it's enough to be considered Nechel K'mo Shuchai. Says the Gemara, Kiyosu Rav Dimi, Omer Echad Dag, Meliach, a salted fish, Vecha Beit Sluya, a roasted egg, Chizkiya by Kapara Shoro, they held that it's not subject to Bishlakim, the Rav Yochanan Osser. Says the Gemara, Rav Chiya Parva Ikla Reish Galusa. The Gemara says that Rav Chiya Parva came to the home of Reish Galusa, Amrlei, and they asked him, Beit Sluya, an egg that was roasted by an akamai, what is its halacha? Amlu chizkiya bakapara shara, Rabbi Yochanan Osor. He says, Ve'ein dvarav shalacha b'makom shnayim. We follow the opinion of the Roiv. There are two people that said that it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan is the only one that said it's osor, and therefore it's mutter. Amlai Rizvid. So Rav Zvid told the family of Reish Galusa, Loi tetzisulei, don't pay attention to what Rabbi Chiya Parva said. Because Hachi Omer Abaya, Hilchska Vasei de Rabbi Yochanan, the Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan. And says the Gemara, the family of Reish Galusa was very upset about what he said. Veshkiu Neguta de Chala, and they gave Rav Zvid to drink a cup of vinegar, apparently very strong vinegar, Venach Nafshe, and he passed away. So the Mefarshim, some say, Rashi says that he passed away because he gave them a psak that they weren't satisfied with. But that the Pirus Yosef says that on the contrary, they gave him a cup of vinegar, which is something you could eat, but it's not something that you normally would drink. And they were telling him, what we see from here is that something which is not eaten, only is not considered eaten. But the posh pshat is, like we said, that he passed away because they did not like his psak. So the question that I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed asks, based on this Gemara, is if a Rav is issuing a psak, and he knows that the psak is not going to be accepted, and he could endanger himself, what should he do? And he wants to... He quotes a Prima Godim. The Prima Godim asks that Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef Lirois Shloim Echav to find out how his brothers are doing. And Yosef, of course, asked the Prima Godim in his Sefer Tamus Goyma, knew how much his brothers hated him. So why did he go when it was Mamish a question of Mesiris Nefesh? So he says that Yosef knew there was a situation that the brothers were not really careful in the midst of Kibbur Aveim. And because Yosef knew that his brothers are not that careful in the midst of Kibbur Aveim, he saw it as a necessity to show that he's going to do Kibbur Aveim even in a time and a place which would cause danger. So says the Chashuki Chemed, from here we see that it really depends. To put yourself into danger to issue a psak is not necessarily the right thing to do. Unless it's a time and place where it's necessary to show the halacha. And he wants to suggest that that's the story over here. Rav Zvid saw that it was a time and place that people weren't being careful with the mitzvah bishlakim, with halacha bishlakim. So he took his life into his hands by telling the Reish Galusa people what they didn't want to hear, just to show how important the halacha b'shalakim is. Tana Rabbana HaKrafrisin, the shell around the caper bush, v'kuftos, it's a type of vegetable that's eaten raw, v'matalia v'chamin, warm water, v'kloyus, are roasted wheat, shalahen, of the Nav de Chavim, mutarim, because they have all of the categories that we've been discussing, all of the reasons that they're not subject to Bishlakim, the Nechkama Shechai, the Eina Oil Shulchim Elochim. However, Be'elet Sluya, when we speak about a roasted egg, a surah, that Shemen, Yudah Nasi, as we discussed oil in our previous Shurim, Yudah Nasi Beistin, the Nimnu Elov, that it's Mutter. Tanya, says the Gemara, he Hamatalia, we just spoke about Matalia, he Peshlaya, he Shiasa. It's all the same. But ask the Gemara exactly what is it? My Shiasa. Omer Rabba Babachana Omer Bioichanan. Ha'arben Shnin the Nofikai of the Mitzrayim. This halacha was taught 40 years ago in Mitzrayim. Rabba Babachana Dido Omer Hashitin Shon the Nofikai of the Mitzrayim. This halacha was taught 60 years ago in Mitzrayim. Says the Gemara, but there's no machloikis. Ma Bishnei or Ma Bishnei. Rabbi Yochanan said it when he was in saying halacha, and it was 40 years from when he heard it. Rabbi Babachana said it, Rabbi Babachana lived later, and he said it 60 years later, because he lived 60 years, he lived later than Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, what is it? Maise bizar de kaposa, they were bringing celery seeds, or bizar de kitna, flax seed, or bizar de shabalisa, and the tilson seed, fungigreet seed, v'tarle b'hada hadari b'pshuri, and they soak them together in lukewarm water, v'shav g'lay adem akabel, and they leave them until they start to sprout. Ma'ase chatz v'chadat ha'molalei mayim, then they bring pitchers that are full of water, v'tarbar g'gishta, and they soak in those pitchers a type of earth called g'gishta, or madkin bay, and they take the seeds and attach it to that earth, violent bebani, and people go into the bathhouse. It says the Gemara Adanafku, until the people exit the bathroom, the bathhouse, malavali, they start to blossom. Vachminayu, and they eat from them. The Kairimibinsadirishayu atufdirkarayu. The concern is that when somebody comes out of the bathhouse, since it's so hot, it should not be affected by the heat. This calls them up from the top of the head until their toes. Amar Rashi, Amali Chanina, Milan. Everything that we just learned is incorrect because it's not possible for something to sprout so quickly. Vamalei b'milim. The reason it happens is because it's done through kishif, and that's why it has the ability to sprout so quickly. Tana Baran Hakusofin Shalav de Chavim. The waste of the dates. They used to make beer out of dates, and the leftovers were called kusufim. Shechuch machamin, that if they were cooked in a vessel of a nachri, b'yoyre g'doyla, even if they were used in a large pot, usur, we have to be concerned that pot was previously used for non-kosher food, and therefore this is absorbing the taste of the non-kosher food. B'yarek tana mutter. But if it's being cooked in a small pot, we need not be concerned. Says the Gemara, Veza, exactly what is a yarek tana? Amar Rav Yanai, kol she'en tzi b'dro yuchayim l'kanes b'toichai. It's small, so small that a bird can't enter it. Says the Gemara, V'dilma admuy v'ayla. Maybe they'll cut the bird into small pieces, and they'll be able to fit the bird that way into the pot. Ella kosh ein roish tzipa dror yochel konas l'toichai. It's so small that this bird won't even be able to fit its head in. There's an interesting machloikis. Is this a kosher bird or a non-kosher bird? Because the concern is that it was used for this bird, so presumably it's a non-kosher bird. That's the opinion of the Taz. The Shach says it doesn't have to be considered a non-kosher bird. maybe what happened here is that the bird wasn't slaughtered properly, and that's why it's non-kosher. Vatanya asked the Gemara whether the ksufin was cooked in a yarek doyle, in a big pot, the yarek tana mutter, answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hadman mandam noistagam mutter, hadmandam noistagam, hadmandakam noistagam osur, hakmandam noistagam mutter. We know that food, once it's absorbed past 24 hours, is ready, the taste is considered pogum. And the question here is, how do we consider it? How do we look at this? Do we say that this pot, if it wasn't used overnight, is it considered pogum? And therefore, we're not worried about any taste that comes into our food? Or is it not considered pogum? And therefore, we're concerned about the food that comes into our food. Oil that was cooked through a nachri asur. Ask the Gemara. Why? If we're concerned that they're going to mix into it wine, which, as we keep on learning in our shurim, the wine of a nachri is asur. Says the Gemara, Mr. Sari, actually what happens is when you mix wine into oil, it gives it a bad taste. That the oil comes from something that could be eaten raw, and therefore it's not subject to bishul akum. Imishum guli of the kham is the concern about the taste in the kalim. So we say the way the mefarshim explain, we could assume that this kali wasn't used for 24 hours, and therefore nosh tam gamu, and it should be mutter. Boy mine miravasi hani ahi ni shlikid ramoi, dates that were cooked by an achri. Mai says the gemara to bailei. Says the Gemara, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, chuye leitabayle, if they're sweet dates, the vadishari, because they're edible when they're raw. And we're learning in our shir that anything that's not kamo shechai is not subject to bishlakim. Merir leitabayloch, and if they're sour dates, vadiasiri, because they can't be eaten without being cooked. Says the Gemara, kitabayloch, the question is, metzoi. They're not very sweet and they're not many sour. Mai, amul mai tabaylechu, says the Gemara, the Rebbe Osir. Rebbe said that it's Osir, Mani, and who is the Rebbe of Rav Asi that said it's Osir? It was Levi. Says the Gemara, she saw, is a food that's made out of cooked, out of dried, out of the flour of toasted grain. Rav Shari, Rav says that it's not a problem, Bishlakam. Says the Gemara, the Chiti Vasari, when we're talking about grain or barley, wheat or barley, kulam lepliga deshari, because we don't add vinegar to that. And since it's not a food that we have to be concerned of vinegar, there's no problem. But of course, the Rishonim ask, why are we not concerned about bishlakim? So one pshat that the Rishonim suggests, it wasn't cooked at all. Others say even if it's cooked, it's not kamo shechai. So kulam lepliga deshari, says the Gemara, b'katalfi dechala, that beans, if it's made of beans, kulam lepliga deosur, they always added vinegar and it's osur. Ki pligi b'talfi demayim, in the case, if they added vinegar, it's certainly osur, because we have to be concerned about non-kosher vinegar. Ki pligi b'talfi demayim, if they added water, if it's cooked in water. Masav gazrina hot to hot. Even when it's just cooked in water, we make exer when it's cooked in vinegar, or masav aloy gazrina. Vikadamri, the pilcha, the may kulam le pliga de asuri. If it's beans that's cooked even in water or asur. Because since beans are sometimes cooked in vinegar, it's enough of a reason to make it asur. Even when it's just cooked in water. Ki pligi, bechiti vasari. The question is, by wheat and barley, how far do we make gzeira? Do we say that since by beans it's osur, it's also going to be osur by chitisari or not? Mag sava gazrina taha, and therefore even wheat and barley is also masav alay gazrina. Omarav tre mini shisia. There are two types of shisia. Shadi the barzilei agolad, when David HaMelech was running away from his son Avshalom, because Avshalom rebelled against him. Barzilai Galadi sent him two types of shisa. What's the proof? The pasuk says in Shmuel, Mishkov, he sent them sheets to lay on. Or matos, he sent them all types of vessels that he need. The kli yotzer, different types of earthenware. Chitim esayrim, the kamaf akoli pul sarim vadash vekeli. So we see that the pasuk says that du koli, koli is lashon rabim, two types. Says the gemara hashta who the kamaf tzani l'shuk de nadav. Now that we find that the streets of Nahadah are full of this type of food and Yisrael buy from it, lest the chayish to avu the shmu v'levi, nobody's concerned, and therefore the halacha is according to the Gemara. If there is no concern that there's vinegar in it, there's also it's mutter, and we don't have to make any gzeiros.